My topic today is going to be where is my bailout, and I want you to go to Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 13. Now, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Okay. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another's man's, who will give you what is your own? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money or mammon. Okay, that's what Jesus said. You cannot serve God and money. All right. You know that there's been a lot of talk about financial crisis in the United States, and actually it's a world crisis. Especially it started and then trickles down to other nations of the world. It's the financial debt that people have in our country, in the United States. I know that we have few people who work in collections here, so they're probably more qualified to say that a lot of people owe money and they cannot pay. Everybody's got debt. And because a lot of people have bought houses that they couldn't afford, it started this financial crisis in the middle of last year, but actually it started a long time ago. We have friends in Florida, and now for 3 years, they're living in a house that they're not paying for. And after one couple did that, they bought a house they couldn't afford. They paid no down, and their payment was over $2,000 a month. They could not afford that. And so they just got married. Imagine the strain on a marriage. One thing I want to say that in our marriage, most of our arguments have been over the past 9 years about money. Money is a big reason why people get divorced. Our relationships break up. It shouldn't be, but it's a big deal to us in our day. Okay? The good news I heard last week was that some banks were giving away the money, the bailout that they got from the government, because they said that we don't want to be controlled by the government. We can learn something about bailouts or financial debt. Bible says that we become a slave to the person that we're in debt to. These banks decided that they were being controlled. They were being told what to do. And they said, no thanks. And so they're giving the money back to the government. What tells me they kind of want to jump in on a bailout. And actually, they weren't doing that bad, but they jumped in, and now they don't want to be controlled. If I were to tell you, or somebody were to tell me, that give me your money, and I'll, because I'm better at financial organization and management, give me your money, and I'll give you whenever you need it. Would you want that? I wouldn't want it, because I would have to come to Andre and say, Andre, can I get 10 bucks of my money? And he's like, what do you need to buy? Well, I want to go to McDonald's, Big Mac plus tomatoes. No, that's junk food. You can't have that. It's my money. Let me show you out of Proverbs quickly, because you need to know that this is not my words, but this is out of the Bible. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says this, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant or a slave to the lender. Bible, God, doesn't want his people to be in slavery to anybody. Bible says in Corinthians that owe no man nothing except to love him. That's it. There's a lot of people walking around with an attitude, everybody owes me. Everybody owes me. Well, Bible tells me, let's say Earl would come to me and say, you owe me something. And all I have to do is tell you, I have to love you, bro. Sorry, but God told me not to owe you anything. So see, it's our own attitude. If we have that government owes me, people owes me, somebody, church owes me. No, nobody owes you anything. I don't owe you anything. You don't owe me anything except to love me. Notice it says, owe him nothing except to love. Bible is a cool book. Tanya and I have been married for here in May. 13th will be 9 years. 9 years. Amen. That's good. People are willing to change for one another before they get married. How many of you know that? Guys would do anything for a girl before they get married. A girl is the same thing. She would do anything for a guy before. I used that opportunity and I said, Tanya, I feel like we shouldn't have any credit cards for the rest of our life. What? And we were young. And you know, before marriage, you don't think about so far ahead, you know, 5 years, 10 years. And so she's like, yeah, great. Then we got married. And let me tell you, for the last 9 years, we've been debating about credit cards because I said no. And she was saying always, but you know, in Macy's, they give you 20% off if you, they trying to get you into debt. Or you probably heard this, I get points in return. I get flying miles if I use my credit cards. Well, that's like what? How many percent is flying miles? Like 2% or 3%? You see how you pay them 18% and they give you 2% back. And we're the only country where we need to get into debt to get more debt. There's a stupid, I mean, this is crazy. I'm sorry, I'm going to get emotional here. But there's a stupid thing out there that, well, you can't get any credit, so you need to get a credit card at 18 when you're not able to pay for it yet and you're not able to manage it well yet. Because they don't teach us money management in school. And so they tell you, you need at least a credit card. And then people go into debt on a credit card and then they get more credit to pay the credit. Let me tell you this about us. We've never had a credit card and I was always able to get loans. If I need a loan for business, I would go and they would just say, what do you have for collateral? Well, I have a car. And so I would get a loan in the spring and pay it off in the fall every year. You can do that. Did you know that? But it's not borrowing. And so over the years, I would be so sensitive, or like Macy's would send us something. If I see it being kind of a payment, and there's been once or twice, I think, that Macy's came, and I was like, baby? And she took a credit card, and I said, let's call him back. Call him back right now. But baby, and we would have arguments about it. We would have arguments. For 9 years, we almost had arguments. And then few months ago, she comes up to me and she says, thank you for standing up for what we've decided before we got married. Because she says, I can see how it's the devil's trap. Come here, tell us what you said. Just come. That's my beautiful bride right there.
I just saw how you don't even think about it. You don't even, it would be so easy to get in like thousands of thousands in debt and not even notice that that's what you're doing. At the moment, you just feel like you're bailing yourself out. You know, you're reaching into the pocket and you're, you know, you need money right here, right now. So you're just helping yourself out. I don't know. God just opened my eyes how easy it would be, just incredibly easy to get thousands of dollars in debt and still think that, well, at that time I needed, like making excuses for it. And
don't let the points trick you, people, especially young people. You're growing up and they're going to tell you, you need credit. And listen, you don't need credit. You just need to have a good down payment. And the bank would be crazy not to give you money. If you have $10,000 down payment for your house, the bank will give you money. I'm sorry, but I've just never had problems getting money from the bank. And I've always had $25,000. You know that they send you a check? And it's like $25,000 or like $50,000 or something. And they're like, you can cash this. And then there's a fine print in the back. By cashing this check, like really little, tiny, it's like 20% interest, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no way, I'm not doing that. You know, usually they would send you that payment whenever you really need the money. Have you noticed that? Like they send you a check when you really need it. You're like, no, I have a principle and I'm going to stand on that. And until this day, we don't have any credit cards. Our house is still mortgaged, but our goal is to pay that off as well. Okay. Now, I hope I didn't sound arrogant or prideful. I don't want you to think of me more than I am. Because we struggle with money. We fight a lot about money. Most of our fights are about money. And I'm going to tell you how and what we do to prevent stress on the family and the marriage. And that's what we're going to discuss today. Okay, let's go to point number one. God uses money to test our management skills before entrusting us with spiritual things. Amen? Verse 11 in Luke chapter 16. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Now, unrighteous mammon means the money that everybody uses. You would agree that the money could be good and could be bad. Okay? Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not the money itself, but the love of money. Now, we as Christians, the goal of our lives is to get closer to Jesus. We want to be more spiritual than we were yesterday. Now, not that we're going to go and show it off. Look how spiritual I am. My goal in life is to be closer to Him. Paul says, I want to know Him just like I am known by Him. Do you believe that God knows you pretty good? He knows the desires of your heart. He knows your behavior. He knows everything about us. And Paul says, I want to know Him as much as He knows me, if that's even possible. Obviously, it's impossible here on earth. But we can grow in a knowledge of Him. Amen? And so, I want to know Him. There are spiritual things that God holds back until He sees us managing well material things. How many of you know that the money that we make, the money that I make, it's not my money? Because I would make more money if it was my choice. But for some reason, there's always this lid on how much you make. Have you felt that in your life? Even if you try harder to make more, you could, but then something breaks or you break and you still make the same. There's a spiritual lid on our finances. You know, Bible says to each of us has been given a measure of faith. Okay? As faith grows, so is our finances grow. Because the more faithful person is with what he has, the more God can entrust him with what God wants to entrust him with. And look at this. Therefore, if you have not been faithful with unrighteous mammon, meaning with money, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? So God, and guys, this has been in my life personally, He will hold back the spiritual blessings in our life if our checkbook is out of order. If our finances is out of order, God hates disorder. Our God is a God of order. I've noticed that the church will stop growing if there's disorder on the inside. I notice your spirituality will stop growing if there's disorder in some area. That's why the goal of every Christian is to get our life in order. And how do we do that? By renewing of our mind, Bible says, through the Word of God. God wants us to be in order because He knows that when we are in order, we could be the most happiest. When we are in debt, where we are spending more than we're making, that's not bringing us happiness. That brings us a lot of stress. And guess what? It doesn't please God for us to be stressed. God hates it when His people are suffering. Especially because of stupidity. Now, if we're suffering for good causes, you know, for the gospel or for something, we're being abused. God loves that. But when we're just dumb with our finances, He dislikes it. So the point is, it's not how much you make, it's how you manage what you make. Now, some of you can say, and we live in a nation where poor is almost exalted and rich is demoted. Would you agree? Media, they don't like rich. There's a saying up there that rich are greedy, poor are good people. Okay? But let me break that myth, because all of us are sinners. Doesn't matter you're rich or poor. And in poor, pride and greed is manifested in a different way than in a rich person. Greed and pride is manifested. Let me read something to you from John Piper. He writes about pride and greed. And listen to this careful, because they don't teach us to think like this. Okay, here it goes. The nature and depth of human pride and greed is illuminated by comparing boasting to self-pity. Okay? Both are manifestation of pride and greed. How can self-pity be manifestation of pride? Hold on. We're going there. Boasting is a response of pride and greed to success. Look what I've done. Self-pity is a response of pride and greed to suffering. Boasting says, I deserve admiration because I achieved so much. Self-pity says, I deserve admiration because I have sacrificed so much. Look in what conditions I live. Nobody deserves to live like this. So boasting says, I deserve admiration because I achieved so much. Self-pity says, I deserve admiration because I have sacrificed so much. See, the same thing. Okay? Boasting is a voice of pride in the heart of strong. Self-pity is a voice of pride in the heart of the weak. Boasting sounds self-sufficient. Pity sounds self-sacrificing. Are you getting this? It's the same thing. See, but it's natural for us. We've been taught like that, that you need to pity who? The poor. And, you know, if I wanted to get your pity, I would act like this. Everybody's persecuting me. Earl is persecuting me. He's not. But if you didn't know Earl, guess who you would feel bad for? For me, right? Because people naturally want a side on the side of the one who are less fortunate. But what if that less fortunate is not a good person? What if they use that for their advantage? And a lot of times it does happen. People learn to use pity to get stuff. Just like rich could be greedy, yes, and use people and cheat people, that's true. So are self-pity, people who are pitiful, it's pride in the same way and just manifests itself differently. Okay, let me read a little bit more. The reason self-pity does not look like pride. Did you know that self-pity, before I read this, that it was pride? No, see. The reason self-pity does not look like pride is that it appears to be needy. Hold on. But the need arises from a wounded ego. Pride was wounded. And desire of self-pity is not really for others to see them helpless, but as heroes. People use self-pity to look like heroes. Did you know that? I know it's crazy. When I read this, I was like, I'm keeping this. I put this on my book because sometimes I would use self-pity on my wife. You know, I work so hard. Oh, baby, you know. And I'm like, wow, that's pride. Okay, let me read this again. But the need arises from the wounded ego, and the desire of self-pity, Inc., is not really for others to see them as helpless, but as heroes. The need self-pity feels does not come from a sense of unworthiness, but from a sense of unrecognized suffering achievement. Look how much, it's not that I'm worthless, but look how much I suffer. See, so pride and greed could manifest itself in many areas of our life. And the Bible says that we should only buy things that we can afford. Bible teaches that we should not be in debt to anybody financially or in any other way. The reason people go in debt, though, because of pride or greed. I can't afford this car, but I want it. My friend has it. I mean, everybody in church has it. I deserve. I've suffered so much. I deserve this car. Or I deserve something. I know I'm cutting you with a sword. And I ask you for forgiveness. But I have to... We will try to sew it back up when we're done here. And in that mentality that I deserve it is greed and pride. I don't want to look bad. I don't want to look who I am. And pride is acting like you're not. Something you're not. Thank you. Sometimes people act like what they want to be, you know. And you're like, man, you're not acting like you. Yes, I know you want to be rich someday, but you're not rich yet. You acting like rich, but your behavior just doesn't fit with how your action. And And Bible says there's this evil in this world. A man who is rich acts like a poor. And a man who is poor acts like he got everything. And Bible calls it evil in this world. Both ways. Okay? So we don't want to act like more than what we are. Now, you wouldn't go and start telling people, look what I've got. I got this, this, and this. That would be prideful. But a lot of times our behavior says louder than our words. And behavior never lies. Guys, behavior never lies. A person could tell you they love you, but their behavior will tell you the truth. That's why you get that God feeling. This person is lying. Yeah, I'm hearing him. He's smooth. She's smooth. But they're lying. Sorry, can't deal with you. I'm going to listen to my gut. Oh. Money, point three, money is a thing that has been given to us. Verse 12, Luke 16, 12. And if you have not been faithful in what is another's man, who is this other man Bible talking about? Can anybody help me? Talking about God. It's other men. Because money is not ours. It belongs to God. He gives it to us. See, a lot of us think like this. If God can give me 10,000, then I would be good steward of that money. But what I make is my business. God has nothing to do with it. Oh, you better believe God has something to do with it. He could take your health. He could take your mind. And you'd be making nothing. Yeah, you'd be making nothing. So the reason we breathe, the reason we live, we have our being, is because of God. So everything we owe does not belong to me or you. It belongs to God. And we have to have that attitude. Now some of you will say, well, then give me stuff. Since it's not yours anyway, it belongs to God. Yeah, it belongs to God. If He tells me to give you, I'll give it to you. Honest. I'll try. But see, I'm not your source of provision. I'm not your Jehovah Jireh, meaning provider, right? I mean, God is your provider. And you shouldn't depend on me to fix your life and give you money and provide for you. God will provide for you. Now, God uses people to provide for other people. Amen? But don't let anybody fool you and think that you're supposed to provide for them if they can provide for themselves. That's pride hiding in self-pity. Okay, so verse 12, if you have not been faithful in what is another's man, who will give you what is yours? Notice it has been given by another. And we have to be faithful with what God gives us. Now, this is where a lot of people get confused. Well, I don't make much. See, God knows how much He gave you. You didn't shock God when you come to Him and say, God, I don't make much. God says, I know. God knows how much we make. And God, and this is the cool thing about God. God says, if you can be faithful with how much you make. Notice in the Bible, God doesn't give us amount how much we should give. It's a percentage. It's not an amount. Meaning He knows that everybody's going to make. So God says, if you make $100, you need to learn how to tithe on 10. Now, I'm not going to ask you for money, so I'm not even going to go that direction. Because I hate it when preachers preach only about money, but they don't teach people of God how to manage the money. In churches, we have people full of people who are like, I gave to God, so God is going to provide all my needs. And when it doesn't happen, first year, second year, third year, you give, but you hate God when you give. I've been there. And then you leave because you say it doesn't work. That's a lie. Just because you gave 10% doesn't mean that's it. You can give 10%. You can give whatever, 20%. But unless you learn biblical principles that are in this book, how to be financially stable, independent, and how to be rich actually. Because Bible says the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. But notice, not I make myself rich, blessing of the Lord. So the money that you have is what God has given you. Now let's say, a lot of us pray prayer like this. God, if I had $2,000 extra, I would save that $2,000. And that's such an old lie, because when I used to make very little, spiritual level, I was the same place as now I make a little more. Like, I make a lot actually, but... But I notice you, just because your income goes up doesn't mean that your expense goes down. Everything goes up. So what God is trying to do, He wants you to learn to be faithful with little. Now, if you are able to save $100 each month from your account, or $500 or $1,000 from your account, God visits people from time to time. In Old Testament, the New Testament, and God visited His people. Now, God is everywhere, but there are special days when God comes and just touches and comes into a life of person. It's called the day of your visitation. Right? God visits people and He looks at your finances. He looks at your love. He looks at every area of your life. He looks at your faith. He looks at your mercy and things like that. And He looks at your finances and He says, it's a mess. God doesn't bless mess. Oh, that's good. That's good. God doesn't bless mess. I think we should name this message this way. God doesn't bless mess. And so God goes away and He might bless you in another area. You know, He might, but financially struggle. And you try giving more and it doesn't work, because it's not how much you give. You can't buy God by giving Him. God says, I give you wisdom, and you need to be faithful with what you have. Some people are on welfare, and you need to be good stewards of that. And if you are, God will get you out of that welfare. And if you are faithful with that $300 check or $500 check you're getting from whatever, I know maybe people don't get that here, but just in case, if you are able to save $50, God is going to bless you. Interesting thing, this is Bible, this is not the world, it's opposite of the world. This is what Jesus said. To him who has, help me out, more will be added. Jesus says this. But to him who does not have, it will be taken away whatever even he thinks of having. Oh, that's not how the world says. World says you take from him who has and give it to the one who does not have. Not Jesus. Hold on. Not Jesus. Jesus says to him who has. Remember talents? More will be added. To him who doesn't have, it's going to be taken away what he even thinks of having. So he's thinking, oh, I'm going to get this and this. And God says, I'm going to take even what you're thinking. Before it even gets to you, I'm going to take it. Guys, we must start living according to the principles of the book. We can't be 20% believers and 80% world. We can't be 90% believers and 10% world. We have to do things God's way. Now, if you are a young person, please, I beg you, and from the Word of God, don't get a credit. Don't go into credit. Don't go into debt. Now, I'm not saying don't go into debt completely, like you might need a house. So, yes, you know, but if you need a car, go on Craigslist and check every day and do like Alex did. He exchanged his junker for a better car, and now he's going to exchange it for a better one and just trade it up. He's right. Amen. Just do that. Guys, there's so many opportunities right now. And if you ask God for wisdom, He will give it to you. And what is wisdom? Jesus says, be humble as a dove and be crafty or wise as a serpent. Christian people are not fools. Christians supposed to be wise as a serpent, or crafty as a serpent, and humble as a dove. Yes, we're humble, but we're crafty. We're crafty. We're business people. Jewish people are known not so much for their smarts, but for their business mind. That's why Hitler hated him so much, because they held all the money. My wife says this. She said, Satan's slavery trap. Mismanagement of money is Satan's slavery trap. If you had a friend, and let's say you had a financial advisor, and you were to come and say, I want to invest $10,000. And he's like, oh, great, come on. You know, let's sign you up. Next year you go to him, and he says, you say to him, so how's my money doing? And he's like, how much did you invest? You're like, well, $10,000. I hope you knew that. Well, yeah, I went and bought my kids some bicycles, and I went and, you know, we went out for a good dinner. You know, we needed it, you know. We went to a movie and a dinner, you know. And then we took a little vacation to Las Vegas, and, you know, but if you give me $10,000 more, then I'm going to make sure. You know, I'm sloppy with money a little bit. If your financial advisor was sloppy with money, I would slap him with a lawsuit or something. You see what I mean? You hope that. But see, we come to God and we say, God, yeah, you gave us more money, but give me more money. And he's like, what'd you do with what you have? Well, I don't know. We just, you know, we just live. Don't ask God. Come on, don't ask. Just give me a little bit more and that's it. And God says, I don't think so. If you were not faithful with somebody else's, you will not be given your own. I know this message is unpopular. Every time I preach about fornication, fornicators get mad. The time I preach on thieves, thieves get mad. I used to think, I don't care about money. A lot of you think that right now. It's a wrong mentality, but let me explain. I don't care about money. I care about God. And so I'm just going to live for Him. Money is not going to be right here. God, money is kind of going to be in the back of my, you know, subconscious thing. And what happened was I started going into more spending. I was spending way more. And I'm like, Lord, I don't love money. And the Lord kind of taught me a little principle. He said, that's like a fat man saying, I don't care about food. So that way I could eat whatever I want. Okay, hold on. How many of you can explain what I just said? Because I didn't say it right. I didn't communicate it correctly. Imagine a person says, I don't care about food. That way I can eat whatever I want. Because I don't care about food. I mean, food is nothing to me. I mean, I can eat whatever I want. What's wrong with that mentality? In a few years, they'll be really big. Because we should care what we eat. Yeah, we should. Yeah. When we say I don't care about money, but then we look at our credit statement or your bank statement, and it's, and you go like, I didn't buy that. How did that appear there? I gotta call the bank. And after a few times calling the bank, they say, no, you did buy that. So that shows that a person is not in control of something in their life. If they're not in control of something, that means they are slave to something. If you ever looked at your credit card or your bank statement and thought, how did that get there? It wasn't you. It was the devil. See, Jesus said you cannot serve God and money. Now, you either will serve one or the other. Now, you say, or I would say, I don't love money. But my bank statement would say totally different. So who should I believe, me or the bank statement? Behavior never lies. So who do I love? Are you following my thought pattern here? Sorry, just try to keep up. If my bank statement shows that I'm just, my spending is out of control, and I say I don't love money, somebody's lying. Either the bank or me. How do you know if you love God or money? Look at your spending. And you will know who you love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you, just be honest, how many of you ever said, I don't care about money? I did. I know I did. Yeah, thank you. I don't care about money. The thing is, we cannot take our eyes off money. That's like having a snake. Remember Moses lifted up a snake in a wilderness, and everybody who would look at it, they would live. Remember that story? Doesn't that snake remind you of something? I know it has a double meaning. Money will not solve all your problems, but you have to have it in your control, not the money controlling you. Because if you're spending and you don't know it, somebody's controlling you. Now, some of you will say, well, we should look upon Jesus and a cross. That's true. I'm not saying we should. But if you take your eyes off Jesus, what will happen? You lose Jesus, right? If you take your eyes off money, it's like that serpent. If you're still watching a serpent, right? You can get away if he comes too close. But if you just turn your back on it, I don't care about serpent. So that means he won't bite me. That's bull. I mean, come on. Don't fool yourself. I'm preaching to myself. I know. I need it. Don't take your eyes off money as much as Jesus. Because as soon as you do, it will go out of control. I want you to go buy yourself a notepad. And for the next week, I want you to not take your eyes off money. Everything you buy, you write it down. Everything. I want you to write everything you buy. Food, Starbucks, $4, whatever you do. And write everything you do. Don't take your eyes off money. If you're married, you will start thinking that my wife is going to look at my little notebook. So maybe I shouldn't buy this Starbucks extra or donut. I don't need it right now. See, we would have less money problems if we knew where our money was, if we had a leash on our money. But a lot of you won't do that. And some of you will, and you'll be really smart. A long time ago, we came up, especially this year, in church and our staff, we came up with checklists. Because people would forget their responsibilities in their position. So we made a checklist, and I noticed that people stopped messing up so much, like forgetting things. And then I noticed that when they didn't have a checklist, they were always stressed out. They acted like they're doing more than I knew that they were doing. But because they mess up, at the last minute, they're like, I worked so hard. Panic, you know. You're like, so we created these checklists, and now I'm like, wow, checklists really work. So guess what? We created a checklist for everybody now. And then I was like, why can't we do that for our home? And so we made a checklist. Water bill, you know, phone, garbage, internet, house, then business checklist. And we wrote, it has to be paid by this date, by the 10th of every month, ahead. And it's just, guys, there's wisdom available for us. There's books available to help solve our financial problems. Because it's not the problem of people so much, it's the problem of system. If the same mistakes keep repeating for years, I can't change my wife. She can't change me. We're forever. So some else has to change. System, right? System has to change. I told my wife, I said, I can't change you, but we're going to change the system. So number one, buy a notepad, write everything, and we're going to be talking for about 4 weeks about money. This is just the first message. Because America is struggling. We are struggling. We want to be good because someday we want to build a church. And if you're a business person, you should have in your checklist, build one church in my lifetime or two churches in your lifetime. You should. You shouldn't just say, yeah, bought me a BMW. No, what it, you know, supported 10 missionaries over my lifetime. That's my goal. I wanna. There's goals that I wanna accomplish financially, because I understand it's not about me. It's about Him. So number one, do your homework. Write everything down. Number two, make a checklist of your finances and put a date so you know what's paid, what's not paid. Okay? Number three, don't ask God for more money. Stop listening to the faith preachers who says, just give to me and you'll be blessed. You will be disappointed. Many people have been. And they turned away from God and they say, all those preachers want is my money. You will never hear this in this church. We want you to prosper, because a father wants his children to be prosperous. And as a pastor, as a father of this house, I know I'm young. I could be some of your son. You could be my parents. But spiritually speaking, I want this house to prosper. God wants to raise up stars in this house. Not arrogantly or pridefully speaking. In a good way, for the glory. So two, three, don't ask God for any more money. Because when you come to God and say, God, I want more money, by that you're saying, God, I don't want you. I want more money. And that's something wrong with that. God is not pleased. We should get to know Him and want Him more than money. Now, but what if my income is low and it's really low? God says, become a good steward of what you have. And you won't have to ask me. Listen. God says, you won't have to ask me, because there is scripture in Isaiah that says, before you ask, I will answer. That's beautiful.